Gentlemen, good to see you again. I think that's all I've grown. I hope in stature, but not in height. Here we are. Well, a happy new year to you, whatever that means. Does it mean it's going to be like last year, or better than last year? Is it going to be worse? Is it going to be better? How can we determine the future? Well, when I was in the food fair yesterday, I noticed something that really caught my attention. I saw a wee lassie there with a board, and you know what she was doing? She was taking, I think she was, I didn't ask her. She was taking inventory. There wasn't much left there, and so they were hoping for more to come in. And they were taking inventory. And that's what we do at the beginning of the year, spiritually. We take inventory. Where are we? Are we the same we were last year? Or are we better? Or are we moving on? I was so happy. I was 50 years saved this past year, and I went home to Scotland. What a great time I had, the brethren, the special meetings, and it was just wonderful. And I stood on the same day where I'd stood 50 years before and come to know Christ, and the excitement was still pulsating 50 years later. Why? Because I've been taught principles that were biblical. Because I've been taught there was a dynamic power associated with Christian living. And I discovered that it's something else. That it wasn't just the presence of Christ that I needed in my life. It wasn't just the prominence of Christ, but it was the preeminence of Christ that we needed in our lives. Isn't that right? Paul said that in all things he might have the preeminence. And so it's wonderful when you begin to look at it, and I was just reading a quote there that said, you know, the entrance to Christianity, there is no fee, it's free, but the annual subscription is everything. Isn't that good? There's no entrance fee, it's been paid, Jesus paid it all, but the annual subscription is everything. And I'm so glad that I learned Romans 12 and 1. Way back in 1958, and came to know it. But how can we look at our lives? How can we think of what we can do and how we can enhance? What can we do to guarantee a happy new year? You see, happiness depends on happenings. And that's why so much of the things in the world are superficial, isn't it? I just read this morning, and by the way, thanks to those folks who do this stuff around here, fantastic. I got my morning news off the computer this morning, and I read about a man who won the lottery. $10 million. There was only one problem. He had died before he won it. Can you believe that? I looked at it, boy, that's one, isn't it? You've got the lottery ticket, you win it, and you die it before you win it. And I thought, wow. Yeah, you know, we have in Christ the best. We say the economy is bad. That might be good for the gospel. Because my friend, you can't, when you've lost everything, you can't use a friendly Christianity. You need real Christianity that says, hey, I have a God who is able. What do we sing? My Lord knows the way through the what? Through the wilderness. All I have to do is what? Follow. He said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We have to follow him. And so if we want the right way, the right life, we follow him. So how do we do this? I mean, how do we get this? I'm a how-to person, you know. Sometimes you get preachers who they're preaching, the folks say, oh, that was deep. That was deep. That was really deep. You know what they're really saying? Didn't know what he said. If it came to the honesty, I did know. I remember when I got saved, we had a brother came up from the south. He was a well-known brother. So we had many conferences, and he said, he was speaking in Old Testament scriptures, and he said, and of course, you know what the linen towel stands for. I'm still waiting. He thought for what it stands for. My dear friends, if we speak in obscurities, there are people who will miss the way. But if we speak in clarity, there are people who get reality. My dear friend, it's not what you have up here that matters. It's how much up here goes in here. And you remember that track that came out, Missing Heaven by 8 inches. It got here, but never down here. Isn't that right? Unless the Lord gets into your heart, you missed it. Now, what am I saying here? What I'm saying is, I'm a how-to man. How do you do that? How do you get there? How do you move on with God? How do I look at 2009 and see everything crashing around us? And by the way, it's not just in America, it's in Europe. I'm in contact with Europe continually. Britain's in a mess. Total mess financially. One of the oldest banks in Scotland, the Bank of Scotland, 300 years old, has collapsed and has been taken over by a building society. So everything's in a mess. So what do we do? Do we go to bed and never get up tomorrow? Or do we say, is there a solution? Yeah, the solution is what? In the church. What is the church? We often say that. Oh, the church is not a building. We are the church. Okay, Peter says we're made of lively stones. Is that living stones? Now, what we're going to find out today is how alive the stones are. Isn't that right? We're going to find how alive the stones are. Living stones. And so as we come to this, what God the Father sent God the Son and the Holy Spirit to do what? That through the Holy Spirit we would accept the Son and glorify the Father. Everybody gets blessed, isn't that right? When we move into the realm. So I want to take with you as we take inventory, look at the Spirit of God. You know, I'm so excited about this because, you know, people so often, oh, you're from Scotland, you like your Scotch. No, I said, it's not strong enough. They look at me, I said, no, I take the 100% stuff, the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm intoxicated continually. Amen. I love that. Just for the Lord. A fellow in the airport yesterday said to me, he said, do you own a house here? I said, no, I don't own a house anywhere. But in heaven, I said, I've got a title to a mansion. He looked at me, and he even poured the tears from his eyes, and he said, my mother's there, and I'm looking forward to going to see her. I said, well, I'm heading off to see my family too. Just buried the last one this year, this past year. My, that's a home nobody can take you from. There's no bank sign out on outside that's saying for sale. There's no sign that says that repossession. Thank God in my home in heaven it says redemption, not repossession. Amen. Great stuff, isn't it? The Lord, this is exciting. You thought, oh, great book this is, isn't it? And we let the devil. So how do we distract us? How do we get this? Well, will you turn with me? In case you thought I wasn't going to read the scripture. I was to chapter 7 of John's Gospel. And I want to just take over these next few weeks with the thing of the Spirit in the Bible class. And I just want to take today very elementary that we all may understand. And some have said, well, I know that. That's fine. But there's some people may not know. But you know, there's some people who know it, but don't use it. Is that right? And that's the way it works. There was a man years ago in Texas who lived in destitution, eating crumbs of bed anything he could get. His name was Yates. And they went into his farm and discovered that he was sitting on multi-million dollars worth of oil. And he was living in poverty. Do you know why? Because he was living on this earth. Too many Christians live on the surface. You want the good things of God? You dig deep for them. Remember the wee boy that fell out of bed? His mother came running through and said, oh my goodness, son, what happened? He says, I fell out of bed. How did you fall out of bed? He says, I stayed too close to where I came in. You want to be a real Christian, you move from where you came in. Amen? You move over. You move over to further over. Too many folks stay close to to where they came in, and when the trials come, they've forgotten there's a Saviour in their heart who can stand up in their little boat and say, peace be still to the storm. Whether it be cancer, whether it be tragedy, whatever it would be, when we move away from the edge, we know we have someone who says, peace be still. We still feel the pain, but we feel His love. I love that, Jesus loves me, this I know, but I like the other bit. Do you know the other bit? Jesus knows me, this I love. It's good, isn't it? It's good that Jesus loves me, this I know, but it's good that Jesus knows me, this I love. He knows all my warts, all my failures, all my problems, and that's a wonderful thing to do. Well, by this time you'll find chapter 7 of the Gospel of John. And of course, the situation is this: the last day of the feast, the Lord Jesus stands up, and in verse 37, now on the last day of the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if any man is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And I'm so glad that the clarification comes in the next verse so that there can be no misunderstanding about what God is saying. But thus he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Firstly, can I ask you a question? As you enter 2009, are you thirsty for God? What are you thirsty for? We've all got a thirst for something. What are we hungry for? Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said? They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be what? Filled, amen. We'll get the rest of you by the end of the class. But filled, isn't that right? We'll be filled. The Lord says He'll fill us. He'll fill our lives. So full will He fill us that the Spirit of God will flow out of us. His Spirit. And His Spirit will contain His blessings, and it will reach to other people. So let me just take a moment with this, and this is very elementary stuff today, and I just want to share it with you. We look here first at the inflow of the Spirit of God. Before it can come out, it's got to go in. Isn't that right? The inflow of the Spirit of God. Water illustrates the work of the Holy Spirit. The Christians need to know that we have to be Spirit-led. Oh, we use the phrase. You know one of the phrases that frightens me? The Lord led me. The Lord led me to do this and that. And I've heard folks say that, you know, and you say, well, I hope that's right. But the Lord leads us when we spend time with Him and seek His leading and giftings in it. So there's an inflow of the Spirit. Now, if you go and look at the map of America, it's very fascinating. Because, you know, the early highways were waterways. How important. Not only for refreshment and sustenance of life, but for transportation. And they got on there, and it was before the local governors got hold of it, so there was no turnpike cost. You just got on with your boat and you sailed down the river. Hope there weren't too many rapids. And if you look at the map, it's very interesting. When you go to Pittsburgh, which we consider our hometown in the States, when you go to Pittsburgh, you look down the next big city is Cincinnati. It's down the river. Now at Pittsburgh, three rivers meet, where a very wonderful, famous football team play. And three rivers, they meet there, and the Monongahela flows northward. Not interesting, it flows north. And it comes to the point in Pittsburgh where it meets the Allegheny River, which flows down, and right at the center of the city, the two of them meet, and they become the Ohio River, and they flow right down to the Mississippi, and into the Mississippi, they flow into the Gulf of Mexico. There has to be an input. And so we discovered that the Ohio, the Arkansas, and the Missouri River flow into the Mississippi, thus increasing the capacity and momentum. So we discovered that rivers of living water need inlets also. Inlets, the inflow of prayer, Bible study, fellowship with God's people. There's a book written by a Baptist man by the name of Henry Blackaby. It's called Experiencing God. It's a good book. And in Experiencing God, he says very unassumingly, he says, look for the man with the fire, spiritual fire. Spend time with him. It's the man that's going to build your life up, isn't it? The man that talks about Christ. The man that tells you, not who won last week, but who won in his life last week? Jesus. Amen? Talks to you. Where you meet them? They talk to you about the Lord. You meet them in the supermarket. Say, do you know, I was reading today, and you know what I got? You know what the Lord gave me? And they share with you, and you go, thank you, Lord. I needed that. I came to the supermarket for the ordinary bread, and I got the living bread. Isn't God good? He meets us. And they pick them up. Have you met somebody like that? And when you've left them, you say, wow, how was that great experience? I feel refreshed and blessed. Somebody who lifted me up. Why? Because he made Christ preeminent in our conversation. Now, when you begin to look at the inflow of the Spirit, let's take the basics, just in case we miss anybody here. I'm an evangelist at heart. And I don't like missing anybody. But all begins with the inflow of the Spirit at a new birth. Nicodemus comes to Jesus. And the Lord speaks to him. He said, well, how can I get to heaven? He said, well, you must be born again. Hits him right between the eyes. You know, we're in the age of user-friendly. I mean, this is going to collapse in on them, I'm telling you. Because when this pressure comes in and they don't know the reality of a God that calls for discipleship, that says, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. It's going to collapse. Because if you've been we've been trusting in just singing or in anything else, it's going to collapse unless there's a solid foundation there for Christ. And so we discover, you know, as we begin to look at this, he says, how do you... He says, well, you got to be born again. Well, boy, he hits him with a phrase that was the first time it was ever used. Did you know that? It wasn't Jimmy Carter that said that. It's the Lord. And he, at that point, didn't explain it. And Nicodemus said, how can these things be? Can a man enter his mother's womb the second time and be born? Hey, you see the level he was working on? Then the Lord explains it. He got his curiosity aroused. You see? And the Lord, the Master Witnesser, he gets his curiosity aroused. He says, wait, I'll tell you. That which is born of this flesh is flesh. That's where you are now, Nicodemus. Ah, but that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. You're born of a heavenly Father. And you marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. And that's when the Spirit moves in. Now, I'll tell you, when the Spirit of God moves in, you get a new life. You say, how do you know? Because the next chapter, it's illustrated. And that was chapter 3 of John. Chapter 4 of John, what does it say? The Lord said, I've got to go through Samaria. Don't go near those Samaritans. We have nothing to do with them. And the wonderful God went to the people that nobody else had anything to do with. He's still doing that, you know. Still doing that. Reaching down and touching people. Not who we think, but who God. He says, I died for them. You look at the drunk in the street. You look at the man in the street. I'm always moved. I pray for them. To think that Christ died for that man. And that man is within one prayer, half a dozen words, of knowing the ecstasy of heaven on earth. But because of the wrong spirit, he's in captivity. To be so near, it's like a ship being caught on the rocks, isn't it? I was just reading about the revival in the northeast of Scotland on the way over in the plane, and the fishermen were talking to stand on the shore. We're talking about that somebody had written a poem about a trawler that had left Aberdeen and went onto the rocks in a storm up in Shetland in the north. And the lifeboat and the men around stood helplessly. Those on the shore and those on the other ships, because they couldn't get near. They saw the men clinging to the mast. They saw the fishermen clinging to the mast and drowning, and they could do nothing. My dear friends, as we look at this today, thank God we have a God who can do something, you know. Some people who are so near. Imagine attending Bible class in the Gospel Chapel and never seeing heaven. It's unimaginable, isn't it? Imagine coming to the Gospel meeting every Sunday night, never missing it. And missing heaven. So near. So near. But lost. I love how Paul uses his testimony continually in the Acts of the Apostles. Remember Greta says, so, "How must thou persuade us me to become a Christian?" Oh, Paul says, "Oh, man." You know, he could always just see this guy. He was so passionate about the gospel. You know that Paul talks more about the gospel than anything else? It's interesting. Somebody said to me in the north, "Well, we don't believe the gospel should be preached in the chapel." I said, "Well, then you don't believe in preaching it, expounding the book of Romans." Because I said, if you can expound the book of Romans without preaching the gospel, I said, you are a miracle worker. Because you don't get far in Romans, even in the introduction, before you discover the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Isn't that right? So for any man who can say, "I teach the word of God, but I don't preach the gospel," I'm saying, my goodness, how can you do that? You're not using the same book I'm using. So we discover the Spirit of God comes in. The effect of change? A woman at the well. Chapter 4. Go get your husband. I don't have a husband. Oh, I don't have a husband. This woman's getting more and more popular every year. Isn't that right? She's fitting into society. Beautiful, isn't she? And the one you've got now isn't your husband. He said, "Give me to drink." She said, "You've got nothing. The well is deep." He says, "Wait a minute. I'll give you water which is not in this well, which will be a well of water in you springing up unto everlasting life." Look, folks, one person was blessed and a whole city was touched. Right? And you know what we have forgotten, beloved? That how important each one of you are who know Christ, because you can be the match that lights a fire and a blaze. Got a letter in my email as I came here. Son of a Presbyterian minister in Scotland. He retired 6 weeks ago. He retired 6 weeks and he died. That one Saturday. Some brethren had gone because he was an evangelical, wonderful Christian man. He got up in the funeral and said, "You know,
He was 18 years of age. He wasn't interested in God. Well, I was only a few years above him saved, and I opened up a coffee bar on Sunday night, and I'd go on the streets and pull people off and come in, and I'd preach and would sing to them and do everything. Isn't it wonderful when you don't know how to do it the right way? All you know is the message. Isn't that right? Today we're so caught up in the methods. You know what? God's more interested in the message. It's a message he gave us. He came in, 19 years of age. They said at the funeral, he came in to annoy the preacher. That was me. And they said he met his match. As I've told you before, I'm a nut, but I'm screwed onto the right bolt. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you, I'm not going to give up forever. But, and I'll tell you, I was only a few years saved, and I dared any man to tell me there was no God in heaven. And there was no power in the gospel. Got saved and spent 35 years in the ministry, led people to Christ and sent people out to the mission field, and people, and his own two sons are in full-time ministry. There's a boy right me here in Spanish Wells and saying, I want to thank you. Tell my dad about Christ. And why did I tell him about Christ? Because one man, 50 years ago, had such a passion for God that he went down to a rock and roll dance with 1,400 teenagers and said, will you give me a few moments with them? One man. Now, I don't know how many others got saved. I don't know if any others got saved. But 3 months later, as you know, I got saved. Boy, isn't the ripple effect wonderful, isn't it? Eh? Oh, we look at the big thing and we say, oh my. Ah. Do you know that tract, that word, that prayer, that care, that reaching out to someone? It's a continual of the ripple effect. Because remember, Jesus said, and God is answering the prayer of the Lord Jesus. He said, I neither pray for these alone, but I pray for them which shall believe. My God. And my friend, that prayer, there'll be no amen to that prayer until my friend, he brings up the earth and folds it up like an old garment and hears the Father say, thou remainest. And that's when that prayer will stop being answered. And when I hear believers say, well, the days are hard and difficult. You know what, my friend? The hardness is among us. When I talk to people in the world, you know what I discover? They have absolutely, at the moment, they don't know where to turn. Donald Trump said he had a Christmas party in his big place in over in Florida there, one of these posh places. He said, I never saw so many unhappy people in my life. He said, 2 weeks ago, 2 days before, they thought they were billionaires. 2 days later, they've lost everything. My friend, isn't it wonderful to have Christ in your heart? She ran back into the city. The crowd came out and they said, we haven't believed because of what you said. We met him ourselves. Amen? Aren't you glad you're saved? Amen? I had an elder, he said to me recently, he said, John, I don't like testimonies. I don't like these dramatic testimonies. I said, man, I said, I'm just as saved as they are. I said, yes, you are. And you should be doubly thankful than they are. I said, because you were brought up in a Christian home and you heard the gospel all the time. But when you're like me, you get up one Thursday morning and you've no thought of God in your life and you get on the bus and you're on the bus to hell and you've been there for 18 years and by 10:45 at night you're on the way to heaven because God steps into your life. You never miss, you never lose that. Lose that and you've lost everything, amen? Oh my, the stock market has not changed my salvation. Amen? Amen. I tell you. God doesn't sell shares in salvation. He gives it freely. He says, come unto me. Come unto me. You can be sitting there with nothing in your pocket. And get saved. Isn't that wonderful? God says, I don't want to see your bank. I don't want to see your silver. I want to see your soul. Trust me. Very quickly, let me move. So they inflow and were born again. So the word tells us, in everything by prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, I just want to give this quickly and not keep you from your coffee, because I know if some of you don't get your caffeine, you really have a miserable day. There's not only the inflow, there's got to be the outflow. Isn't that right? He says, wait a minute. You know, he says, if there's anyone thirsty, you come to me, we'll have the inflow, you'll be born again. Ah, but there'll be an outflow. Rivers must have outlets. Outlets are necessary for their existence. Stagnant water. You've been to see the green in Scotland, where we've got way up in the peat bogs, or way up in the hills of Scotland, where the lochs are, or the lakes are caught in, and the growth starts coming, the green. But then you move a little further along to one of the mountains there in Scotland, and you see the water coming down the hillside, and it has a sparkle about it. It's fresh. It's moving. It's clear. It's got vitality about it. And if I said to you, well, where do you want to drink? In the loch, or do you want to drink in the river? You say, give me the river any time. It's got an outlet. Moving down. Our city is built on, in Aberdeen, is built on two rivers, the River Don and the River Dee. And the harbour's built on the Dee. And so the men come out of the North Sea, and the river runs in there, and when they come into out of the North Sea, and the fishermen, you know what it is, come on out of a storm, don't you? And come up the harbour, over the harbour bar, that unseen bar where the fresh water meets the salt water, and the boat dips and comes up and comes into the peace of the river. And ties up in the dock. We can say as believers, I've anchored my soul in the sail, haven of rest. I'll sail the wild seas no more. Let me just say this. Rivers of living water need outlets. Their existence also, the outflows of the fruits of the Spirit, are a blessing to others and bring glory to God. God didn't give you what he gave you to keep to yourself. I often say to believers, you know, you hear people say, keep the faith, keep the faith. No, don't keep the faith. There's enough believers keeping the faith. Spread it around. Amen? What this world is needing, the faith, spread around. Did you see that testimony last night on the television of the Hamas leader's son who got saved? You didn't see that? That is absolutely powerful. Somebody out there in the Middle East gave him the Bible. Now he's speaking out. At first it was in secret. And he's speaking about a knowing Christ. They interviewed some of his friends and they said, and everything he's saying is real and sincere. I mean, his life's in danger. He said that. But they said, if that's the way my Lord wants me to go, that's the way I'll go. And you know what hit him? Do you know what hit him? Do you know what really started him on his spiritual journey? When he opened the scripture and read, love your enemies. As a Muslim, he couldn't believe it. Sometimes in our society is, make more enemies. Isn't that right? My friend, I've got enough problems to make enemies. I don't argue with everything but everything. I just want to love them. Here we are. So we discover the outflow. Look at the Dead Sea. I looked it up this morning. It was quite interesting. You go and read about the Red Sea, the Dead Sea. No life at all. I saw a great phrase that said, you don't swim in the Dead Sea, you just hang out. How many churches allow that? And we as Christians have come along to what? Hang out with God for an hour on Sunday. Ah, we've come to work out. Amen? My brethren, I was taught so, I thank God. They said, John, you know why we break bread at first? I said, no. He said, because then you go out and serve Christ. I said, wow. So what'd you do? They said, we're putting you in charge of the tracts. That's great. Who else is with me? There's nobody, just you. And I tracked every home around where our little assembly was. There was a lot of homes, because Scotland has tenements and up and downstairs. Glad I did. Didn't do it for anybody but the Lord. My dear friends, the outflow of the Spirit, there's no life in the Dead Sea. You say, but I'm right. I bet, are you dead right? I've met a lot of believers. You go around. And I could take you on both sides of the Atlantic to places where there have been strong witnesses. And they shut up the outflow. And it wasn't that long later when they shut the chapel door as well. Because when you just hang out, you don't know the freshness of the river flowing through. Amen. You don't see the life, and you don't see the fish, the live fish coming in. Oh, the man. Let me just leave this with you, so for those who have taken notes. There has to be an underflow. You guys are showing. What do you tell your kids? Watch the tone. I don't know about this. I'm sure the sea around here, but in the northeast, you know, beaches look good. You go in there. I had a friend who went to help a missionary in Israel in Italy, and he was coming home to help us in Scotland. This day they had a day off, so he went into the water in Italy, and the undertow got him and pulled him out. He was dry. See, the devil's under there. Ah, but you know, also, my dear friend, let me say this. The undercurrent flows beneath the surface of the river. Sin is an undercurrent and it's dangerous. Can I just say, folks, be careful what you watch. It's amazing what you see with this eye that's retained in the, long before there were computers, God had invented the brain and it retains, and the memory retains a whole lot of things. Christians must be on guard. The underflow of the living water is what? The peace of God that passes all understanding. God's word and God's promises, when the enemy comes in like a flood, says Isaiah, the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. Amen. I love the words of John. I learned it when I was just not long saved, you know. And I thought it was marvelous when I started reading the Bible. And God started hitting me with these verses. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, my friend, if the devil is working out to pull me in and drown me, thank God the undertow has the peace of God there too, saving me and keeping me day by day. And when temptation comes, as you've heard me say so many times, if you don't want the fruits of sin, don't walk through the orchard. Take the long way round. Finally, let me give you that. That's the underflow. And then, of course, there's the overflow of the Spirit. Any man thirsty? Let him come unto me, and out of his innermost parts shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. People are blessed. Blessed. I didn't know my brother was saved. listen to Spirit and to some heavy duty, you give me a hard time. But I didn't mind, because I knew the Lord was alive. My hardest time was not knowing he was saved. When he had died and found him in the house about between 3.5, 5 weeks later. But as we tidied up his house, we went and did his funeral, and my cousin spoke, a godly boy, and I welcomed the people and did the committal. As I did the committal, I stood there and I thought, thank you, Lord, because at my feet was my father, whom I led to the Lord, and my mother, who was saved, and my sister, who had died at 58 of cancer, and was also saved. Last words she said on this earth, in times like these, you need a savior. And I laid my brother. And I said, Lord, the issues are with you. And I went home, took his home apart, and found 2 new Bibles, highlighted, from Genesis to Revelation. And we said, Lord, the issues are in your hands. Amen? Let me just say this, and then I'm finished. The overflow, the enrichment of the soil along with the vines. Those of you in Israel have seen the dry and hard that. Well, you've learned Psalm 126, haven't you? When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. You remember what happened? He said, Lord, like the streams of the south, the water comes down, it overflows the fields, and the produce is saved. We need that, don't we? We need that. The overflow is attractive to young and old, rich and poor, great and small. Every one of God's children needs the inflow, the outflow, the underflow, and the overflow that the rivers of living water gives. All I can say is, hallelujah, what a Savior. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus. Bless us now. And as we come to worship this morning, may he just not be present, and may he not just be prominent, but, oh God, may Jesus Christ be preeminent. And may we just love him and worship him with all our hearts. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.